And time for the best 5 minutes of the day. We've got Dr. Jason Kanz from jasonkanz.com. Good morning.
Good morning.
And a little bit of snow out there today. And the thing, as I mentioned, there was like a freezing rain and then the snow. So if you parked outside, some serious scraping going to have to happen.
Oh, goody.
Yeah,
I always look forward to your weather update.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm excited about that one.
Ventured out there before you today. All right. Well, some breaking book news from you before we get to one of your devotions from Notes from the Upper Room, Lessons in Loving Like Jesus. Tell people who might not have seen what you shared on Facebook.
Yeah, so the book is coming out, I'm hoping, next week. So Notes from the Upper Room, Lessons in Loving Like Jesus, which is kind of my walk through John 13 to 17, which is the Upper Room Discourse. As part of that project, one of the things that I had done was written a series of devotionals, which we've been going through intermittently on the air. They cover a lot of the same ground, and so in talking with a couple of folks, putting them in the same book seems to not fit quite right, and so I wanted to make them the devotions available to people who were interested in them and will still happily do so. Electronically, but I know that there are people who also would be interested in a paper copy, and so there's going to be a paired book to go with the book itself that just contains the devotionals.
Terrific. Well, that's exciting, and we've been enjoying them and just kind of working our way. I mean, it's helpful because people are busy and starting their day, and so this, you know, we've done devotions in the past, but it's kind of a consecrated conversation, you and I, and appreciate the feedback. If people have more feedback, our listener line always open at 396-1670. So we continue on in John 13 today. Where are we?
We are in John 13, 17. Mm-hmm. And so John 13, 17, Jesus says, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. And so he's kind of talking about the difference between knowledge and action here. And I think we talked about that a few days back. Mm-hmm. One of the things that came up for me as I was thinking about this was one of my best friends in college, my college roommate, was famous for saying, "I thought about it." He would have an interest in a girl that he wanted to go out with, and I would say, "You know, Eric, you really should ask her out." And he would say, "You know, I thought about it," and he never would do anything with it. And I think we all do that at times, you know.
Yeah.
Jesus didn't just come to download Jesus 101 into his disciples' brains. He came to show them how to live. You know, in the past decade or two, I think, the Internet has really allowed for a resurgence of interest in theology. You know, there's men and women reading Calvin and Augustine and Spurgeon, and we fill our heads with quotes and whatnot. And I speak as an insider in that, as somebody who has read a lot of theology. But too often, we fail to put into practice the things that we learn. And what happens when there are large heads on weak bodies, and we topple over? Jesus was essentially saying to those of us who want to follow him, okay, great, you know the message, but don't just keep it in your head. Live a life of love. You know, serve one another out of the abundance of your heart.
Yeah, a couple of things I wrote down as you said that. One is, I mean, talkers and doers, that lesson Leslie Pera talked about in terms of husbands and wives, there's usually one who's a talker and one who's a doer. And it's not always the wife, let me say, okay, in terms of who's the talker. Like, I think I probably talk more than my wife. And
me too.
There's been more than one Focus on the Family show that said women talk 25,000 words a day, men do 10,000. I don't think you could put it that neatly, and it doesn't work that way. But also...
Right.
Putting in it, and then I think we judge others by their actions and ourselves by our intentions. So if we even just think about it, we sometimes can give ourselves credit for it, right?
Absolutely. You know, and I was thinking about that. I was telling you I got up at 2, and I was just wrestling with this. Am I putting into action the things that I say are valuable?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a good question for us to ask on a regular basis. Am I putting into action the things Jesus has called me to?
And so what's the challenge? I mean, yeah, that one really speaks to me, too, as somebody who can, you know, okay, my wife's more prone to action. God bless her for it. But in my sanctification, in my spiritual growth, how can you grow in that then, being more of a doer of the word?
You know, I think that for me, it's trying to, I tend to be an all or nothing kind of person, and so I come up with these grand ideas.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what really is more helpful is to identify small ways. You know, notice one person and how mm-hmm. can I serve or love that person?
Mm-hmm.
Be it your spouse, your kids, somebody you see outside.
There you go.
And so pick one thing.
All right. Good enough. All right, jasoncans.com, more of his stuff. People can friend you on Facebook. Where can they follow you on Twitter?
On Doc Cans on mm-hmm. Twitter is my Twitter handle.
All right, and you're on Instagram.
Yeah. I'm on Instagram as well, also Doc Cans. So.
Very good. Thank you, Jason. Talk to you
there.
Tomorrow.
You bet.
There we go.
The alphabet is filled with consonants and vowels. We write them, we read them. Each letter makes a sound. Well, we start with ABC. We go all the way to Z. The letters of the alphabet are fun for you and me. A, B, C.
I really missed out on like pre-K having all of these songs available to
me. Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh. Glad I can help you out.
Hooked on phonics generation. Well, the English language can be a bit baffling at times, especially if you're a foreign language speaker and it's like, do they have any grammatical rules at all when you're trying to learn?
The English
like,
language is
I am
bizarre.
Amazed by all the kids in other countries that have like English as a second language and then speak multiple languages. It's just learning hours must be difficult enough.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about words like phlegm, receipt. It's doesn't really make sense.
And this is why I'm a horrible speller. I am the worst speller. It's terrible.
Well, silent letters in the English language are unavoidable. They're sneaky.
They kill me.
Almost every word in the alphabet is occasionally guilty of taking up space without contributing anything. There's so many analogies that can be drawn from that. But there's one exception, Halvo. According to Merriam-Webster, this is the only letter in the English language that consistently makes itself heard, always heard.
The letter V is the only letter in English
really?
That consistently makes itself heard. No matter where it appears, whether it's in love, voice, or divisive, V plays a vital role.
Now, most letters are kind of phonetic chameleons. That's why the C sounds different in cat and city, and why the G sounds like nothing at all in gnash, like gnash your teeth. V is unique in that it never goes through an identity crisis. It always knows. It's
that's
like, I'm V. I'm here. I'm
Well, bird. And like a G, it can be a giraffe. It can be a cough. It can be a goat. You got three sounds coming out of one letter. This is why I can't spell.
Z is only silent in words we borrowed from the French, like...
Chaise?
Yeah, I don't know.
Chaise lounge?
Laissez-faire
like
and
lounge.
Rendezvous.
The it took me forever to figure out how to spell rendezvous.
The one silent J in the entire English language appears in marijuana.
Okay.
Who knew?
Who
a
knew?
Term of Spanish origin.
But V, you're always going to hear the V.
Mm-hmm. See, but here's the thing. We have this lovely song going. Look at. It's not always a G. It's not always a H. It's not always an I.
So when did you learn this song?
About 5.5 minutes ago.
Oh, okay. I thought you raised your kids on it.
Thanks to Google. That's a hard G, not Jugal. Google.
Yeah, right.
So if you're learning to read, kiddos, I apologize. You'll get there. It'll happen. If you're a bad speller like me, we're all in it together,
You
friends.
Can go into radio.
You can go into radio.
I love
my
spelling.
Drives Caleb crazy. I don't mind spelling.
I love it.
Really bad at it. I
Mark is
love
like a spelling
like
bee
I just
champion.
Enjoy it. I don't know.
Yeah.
You
can't wait till July 4th.
Go
to Carson Park and spelling bee.
Parenting is not for the faint of heart. I think we can all agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry, friends. It doesn't matter where you're at in this journey of parenting. It doesn't matter if you're in the newborn phase, the toddler phase, the preteen, the teenage phase. It's never easy. It's always grueling in its own unique way. I love you all. We're all in this together. No one's got it easier or harder than anyone else.
WWIB, we are family.
We
so
are.
We support families whatever part of your journey you're on. And we'd love to hear from you. Text or give us a call at 715-396-1670. What's your parenting win? Something just a little, you're like, you know what? Yeah. That was a win. Thank you, Lord.
There's a mom out there right now saying, my parenting win is that my child is out of bed and wearing some form of clothing, even if it's still pajamas.
My parenting win is that when Elena said Sunday night, why did you eat my donut? And there was leftover 1.5 donuts. Michael and I together finished it off Sunday afternoon.
Yes.
So my parenting win was when I told her I would get her a donut, I did go to Sue's Bakery and
right
bring
on.
Home the donut. So that was my parenting win. She was very happy.
There you go.
I lived up to my word.
There you go. My parenting win is actually my parenting downfall as well. My parenting will is that my children have like stubbornness and tenacity, and but yet that's also my biggest parenting challenge.
It's a double-edged sword.
It's so
double-edged. Dan Allender wrote a book called How Children Raise Parents, and how God uses your kids to form your character in ways you're never suspecting.
Oh, doesn't he, though?
A recent study of over 2,000 parents examined the little things that parents find satisfying, empowering, and it's like, yeah, that's a win. For instance, getting your child to eat their vegetables easily without it dragging on for hours or hours, or maybe keeping your child occupied and quiet while grocery shopping, maybe surviving a grocery shopping trip with multiple
surviving
kids.
Surviving a church service. Huge parenting win. Can I say, sometimes, huge parenting win to just make it through the service.
Having your child enjoy a healthy snack or even request something healthy as well, too. I know sometimes in our house, too, it's the chips and the cookies and things like that. It's like, oh, can I have a snack? Can I have a treat? And that's what comes out first. So parenting win if they ask for something at least reasonably healthy.
Well, here is a young lady who was grown up in Pennsylvania. And speaking of the relationships our kids with us, turns out that the story is searching for love online with an Instant Pot. A Pennsylvania woman has taken to Facebook's Instant Pot community to post about her firefighter dad, Greg Kobel. She thinks it's time that he found someone after losing her mom to cancer nearly 10 years ago. So she has written her dad, wrote that her dad just bought an Instant Pot, loves to cook, but needs a woman's touch. And she added the hashtag #FindGregoryALady. The post has nearly 2,000 comments in less than 24 hours.
Parenting wins can be at any age.
Yes, they can.
There you go. Look at her. She's loving her dad, wanting him to find some happiness. Love that.
I'm going to say just one more. My parenting win would be when I have a child either by the hand. Yeah, by the hand, not in the cart because the cart keeps them further away. But by the hand, and we successfully make it past all of the child eye level candy and trinkets in Walmart or whatever store we're in, and they don't even ask for something, and we just go, right, that's my win.
That's a win. That's a total win.
I don't know. I boil parenting down to they need unconditional love and discipline, and you begin with the unconditional love part, and the discipline part, listen, it's going to be tough. They need tough and tender love, so just do your best on that. There you go. That's my advice.
Do you want a couple more kids?
Well, I got five, so I think I'm gonna hold steady at the five.
Let us know your teenagers.
I totally love my kids. I'm just very tired. I love them so much.
WWIB, great to have you aboard the WIB Wake Up Show. The audio you're about to hear was all over talk radio yesterday. Michael Bloomberg is spending millions of his billions to try to run for president. It looks like he's going to be in the debate, this next debate here coming up. And so... and Super Tuesday's March 3rd, but this is audio from 2016 and the intellectual power it takes to be in one of America's leading professions was called into question. Listen.
I could teach anybody, even people in this room, so no offense intended, to be a farmer. It's a process. You dig a hole, you put a seed in, you put dirt on top, add water, up comes the corn. Then we had 300, you could learn that.
Okay. There's a lot more to farming.
Okay, right. I mean, nobody works harder. Nobody works harder.
For real.
But, and again, it's kind of the, but he's making a case here, okay? So he's taking us through, he talks then about the industrial age, and let's pick it up from here.
The information economy is fundamentally different because it's built around replacing people with technology. And the skill sets that you have to learn are how to think and analyze. And that is a whole degree level different. You have to have a different skill set. You have to have a lot more gray matter.
So he's made his billions, obviously, Bloomberg, right, in the information age. But do you see that? I mean, unbelievable audio, right?
Wow.
I know.
I just want to take a moment and recognize our farmers because, I mean, I'm friends with some farmers. And, yes, they do work hard, but they also work very smart. And there is a lot that goes into...
Hasn't the information age met farming? I mean, it's...
Yes. Crop management, field management, the technology involved with farming is just unbelievable.
But even
nowadays,
as technology has grown, it doesn't mean that you can sit on your duff and not do anything as a farmer. I mean, they're still getting up early and staying late. And my goodness, as busy as they are, farmers, the way they help one another and help others.
Yeah.
I feel like the antithesis to that quote is I want to hear Paul Harvey reading So God Made a Farmer.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I kind of need that.
Wow.
So I don't know. Again, that's just, I'm sure there'll be some kind of. I haven't heard the explanation yet from Bloomberg about it.
But. I'm sure he's a smart enough guy to come up with something. Apparently,
oh,
at
dear.
Least he thinks he is.
Talk that one back.
Our Wisconsin farmers, we support you, and I know Culver's does too. Mm-hmm.
So. Absolutely, we support you. It really builds, doesn't
it? 2001 Space Odyssey.
It is, but I didn't. I forgot that there's like 25. Here we go.
Here we go. Here we go. Here we go.
There.
It's worth the wait. It really is. You're welcome for the few seconds of silence.
Gracious, it's all good.
Well, speaking of space, how about we alliterate and talk about space, space stations, and Skittles on Saturday?
Sounds good to me.
A cargo ship rocketed toward the ISS, or the International Space Station, on Saturday, carrying candy and cheese to satisfy the astronauts' cravings.
Candy and cheese!
What a funny sentence.
It should arrive today.
Is it dry cheese? Like, you know, the old ice, the ice cream sandwiches that used to get freeze-dried, is it regular cheese or is it?
So the nearly 4-ton shipment should arrive at the orbiting lab today. Besides the usual experiments and gear, the capsule holds cheddar and Manchego cheeses, fresh fruit and vegetables, chocolate, and three kinds of gummy candy expressly requested by the three station astronauts.
That's exciting.
They each
That's
get their favorite, maybe?
That's
Skittles,
funny.
Hot tamales, and Mike and Ike's. And those companies got to love it, right?
Solid choices. Taste the rainbow while you're up above it.
I guess. Interesting.
What would you ask? I would not ask for any of those.
I would go peanut butter M&Ms because they're excellent chilled.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Just get a little space
That's
chill
a good
on
idea.
Them.
Yeah.
I do love gummy candies, though. Like, I really do love gummy candies. So Skittles and Mike and Ike's, they're a solid choice in
Trail
my
mix.
Book.
Trail mix with M&M's.
Yeah. The fresh fruits and vegetables, of course, I'd be all over that.
Of course.
But again, if you were up in space for a while, what would you miss most about Earthling food?
Yeah, I don't know. There's so many things I would
miss.
Pizza,
after a while.
I was going to say that too. Pizza.
Yeah, I wonder what the food is like. You know, my cousin works. She's going to school at MIT for this fancy. And then, like, one of the classes she was taking last semester was life support in space. I'm like, seriously, that's a class? Yeah, that's a class. I'm taking it. Like, of course you are, Amelia. Mm-hmm. Proud of you.
Mm-hmm.
Of course you are. Yeah. So, okay. But I don't know what I would want. Fresh fruits, vegetables.
Let us know if you were stuck in space.
What would you go for?
Hey, this is Caleb from the WIB Wake Up Show. Thanks so much for taking a listen to this. You can catch the show live weekday mornings 5:30 to 9 a.m. on 103.7 FM out of Eau Claire, 94.3 FM in Wausau, 93.5 in Marshfield, 93.7 FM in La Crosse, and anywhere at WWIB.com or via the TuneIn radio app or your Amazon Alexa and Google Home devices.